John hosted me last night, and thank you very much for that. Thank you for the welcome. As I'm passing through on my way to Pittsburgh this week, I'll be in Rochester this evening after giving a presentation. I think it's my first time to bring the word here, and very grateful for the opportunity to do so. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 8, and beginning at verse 4. Luke chapter 8. We have more people than usual here this morning, with young folks way at the back. How was the weekend? Good. So if you're there, Luke chapter 8, verse 4, would you now give your attention to the reading of God's holy word? When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these who have no root, they believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for those in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Will you join with me as we ask that God would bless now the preaching and hearing of his word? Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, these words that you spoke to great crowds there on Lake Galilee, these are words that we have just heard being read, and they're words that we want to understand, that we would hear and receive these words, believing them as your very word, a word that as we believe, that we would bear much fruit. And so we pray that everyone here would be given those ears to hear, and even to bear the fruit that gives you all the glory. So we ask for your blessing upon this word. Though the grass withers and the flower falls, your word will endure forever. So bless it, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any photographers here? Even if you're not a photographer, you probably know what is called time-lapsed photography. It's when a photographer will take pictures over some days, perhaps, and then take all of those photos and crunch them into a few seconds of a video. And this is what a photographer did in South Sudan when the tower of this FM radio station was built in 2009. And he set up his camera and took up and took those pictures as the elements were going up. And then he took all those photos and crunched them into 10 seconds where we could see those elements going up. And it's an incredible display of photography. But imagine if a camera could actually see what no eye can see, the Word of God, like a seed, being sown in the hearts of all those people who are hearing this radio station, broadcasting the truth of God's Word. And over the years, since 2009, as this radio station has grown in its listenership, very large radius of broadcast range, we have heard of so many people that have come to faith through this ministry on the radio. But many others have not responded to the Word favorably. Some people have been hardened. Others have had a shallow, superficial response to the Word. And others have been distracted. They still listen, but they have yet to bear fruit in their lives. And that is the same whenever the Word of God is sown, even in this place here this morning. There will be different kinds of hearers. Some will be hardened when they hear the Word of God. Others will have a superficial response. And others will be distracted. But some will hear and hold on to the Word. This is what Jesus is speaking of. That there are different kinds of hearers. And he uses a parable to make his point. At this point in Jesus' ministry, there were great crowds of people that were coming to hear him. And if we look at the other passages that have the same parable in Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4, it gives us more detail, more description. And we find Jesus here being almost pushed into Lake Galilee because the crowds were swelling on the shores of the lake. He had to wade into the water and actually get into a boat, sit down and teach the crowds as they were standing there listening to him. And so he tells this parable. Why would Jesus use parables? A parable is an earthly story that has a spiritual meaning. And so he would use parables with a purpose to differentiate the kinds of hearers, because he knew in that crowd there were many different kinds of people there. And they would respond differently to his message. And eventually, as the crowd grew tired of listening all day and they were hungry, they left, but the disciples remained behind with Jesus. And they ask Jesus, what does this parable of the sower mean? And so he tells them. In verse 10, he says, to you, and the purpose of telling parables as well, is to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to others, they are in parables. What was Jesus saying? He was saying that the knowledge of the kingdom is only known to whom it has been given. It has been given to only some. And to others, this knowledge, these secrets of the kingdom, is concealed, where they do not see, they do not hear this gospel of the kingdom. And in Mark's account, and even here, we have Jesus quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. That in seeing, they may not see. And in hearing, they may not hear. So this is why Jesus speaks in parables. It is to differentiate between the hearers. To distinguish between them. That there are some who will hear and bear no fruit, and there's only one kind of hearer who will hear and hold and bear much fruit. So how we hear is so important. It's everything. And it determines what you will yield. In South Sudan, I use this parable as my first lesson in evangelism as I was training church planters. I would tell them, as you go out and sow the seed of the Word of God, you will find different kinds of responses. Those who will be hardened to the word, those who will have a superficial response, those who will be distracted as even as you speak to them, and there'll be those who hear and they will hold on to that word. And I wanted them to understand that because there are many different hearers, that we need to sow the word abundantly, because only some will hear and hold that word. Now today it's not about how others respond to the word of God. It's how you hear. What kind of hearer are you? There are four kinds of hearers. Ask yourself, what kind of hearer are you? Because how you hear will determine what you yield. And there is only one way to yield a harvest. So are you listening? Are you going to hear this message from Jesus as we look at this parable? The first kind of hearer is the hardened hearer. The hardened hearer. This is the seed that is falling on the path. Look at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Farming in the time of Jesus was very simple. The sower would have a bag strapped around his chest, and he would take a handful of seed, and he would scatter it on the field. And on the field, there were these footpaths. People would make these paths through the field where they would walk on. Those seeds that fell in the path would be trampled underfoot. The birds in the air would look down and they would see those seeds and they would snatch them away. And the disciples asked, what does this mean? And Jesus answers in verse 11. First of all, Jesus explains the seed is the, children, what is the seed? The word of God. Then he describes this seed that is sown along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. If we look at Matthew's gospel and also in Mark, it says that those are the ones who hear the word of the kingdom. They don't understand. And the evil one comes, the devil comes and snatches away from the word from the heart so that they do not believe and are saved. We should not forget that in the preaching of the word, there's another agent involved, present, to take that seed from the hearers, immediately taking it from them. But we should not only blame the devil in his work, but also look at our own hearts. Because many hearts are hardened. Even as they hear the word of God, the hearts are hard to the word. Isaiah speaks of this when God sent Isaiah out to preach the word to God's own covenant people. The Lord says, these hearts of his own people have become calloused and dull. They hear with their ears. They cannot hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. These are God's people. There are many whose hearts are hard. And what hardens the heart? But sin. That's why the church, as a body of Christ, have this word of exhortation to encourage one another daily, as it is called today, so that none in the church would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin in our own hearts that harden us. And even this kind of hearer can be the believer. Where unconfessed sin causes the heart, the ears to become dull and calloused. But this is speaking here specifically of those who are not believing unto salvation. And what do you need? Because the devil wants to come and snatch away that word from you so that you would not be saved. I remember a young lady at the church in Ottawa brought a friend. This is many years ago. I was a young believer. And I asked this guest of hers if he understood the message that he heard that day. And he says, I didn't understand most of it. And I was quite insensitive and loved Reformed theology. And I said, it's because you're spiritually dead. I wouldn't say that in the same way today, but it's true. You cannot understand. You cannot believe unless you have the Spirit of God. But if you do not believe, you can plead with God that He would give you His Spirit, that you would understand, you would believe, and that you would be saved. I don't know you, but you can cry out for the Holy Spirit to give you the eyes to see Jesus and to believe Him. Are you the hardened hearer? Is that the kind of hearer that you are? Or are you the next kind of hearer who's not saved in the end because does not persevere in believing? This is the shallow hearer. This is the seed that falls on the rock. Look at verse 6. This is the seed that fell on the rock. As it grew up, it withered up. It withered away because it had no moisture. And in Matthew 13, it says that when the sun rose, it scorched the plant because the plant had no root. There was no moisture in the soil. What's the meaning? Jesus gave the meaning to his disciples in verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they received it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and a time of testing fall away. In Matthew and Mark, it says that these people hear the word, they receive it with joy, they believe and endure for a while, but when they face temptation, trials, persecution, on account of the word, they fall away. This is the shallow, superficial hearer. There's joy for a time, but it does not last. When temptation comes, when opposition comes, when persecution comes, they fall away. And you know why? It's because they're surprised. They don't expect it when it comes. When you have an opportunity to disciple a new believer, do you speak to them of the expectations that they should have as new believers? That trials will come, temptations will come, persecution will come. Do you tell them of these things? And that they, when they do come, you can read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, not to be surprised by them. You can read from James 1, 2, to count it all joy when you face all kinds of trials when they do come. This joy that those who are like these superficial, shallow hearers, it doesn't last. You may find someone, a new believer, and they have tremendous joy initially. But for some, and you wonder how that could be possible, but these are the kinds of hearers They have joy, but it doesn't last. It's not the kind of joy of the one who stands in the face of trials and temptations and persecution. And how do we stand before these trials that maybe some of you are in right now? Some of you, you know they're coming. And how do you stand? In Ottawa this past summer, we had tornadoes ripping through our city, which is very unusual, but causing great damage. Now, there were some trees that stood against tornadoes. And how is that possible when it rips up houses? Only because of the root. Under the soil, the roots digging deep into the ground. And it's the same for us. How do we stand? But unless our roots are deep into the ground. Not like the ones who are the shallow hearers, where this soil is so shallow. And it says here that it's on the rock. It's not speaking of pebbles, but this is bedrock. And so the soil is very shallow. But for us, through trust in the Lord, our faith in the Lord, digging those deep roots, we can stand. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord." And this is the picture of the one who trusts in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The fruit comes from the root. Whatever winds are blowing in your life at this time, if you can picture your faith digging down into the Lord, trusting in the Lord, you will be then able to stand. And then even to rejoice. How can we have joy in the midst of trials unless we have trust in the Lord in those trials? That is the fruit of our trust, is joy. But if you're shallow here, that joy doesn't last. It doesn't bear the true, lasting fruit of joy because there's no trust in the Lord. I hope you're not that kind of hearer, or like the next hearer who's distracted. The distracted hearer, this is the seed that is sown among the thorns. And in verse 7, Jesus describes the seed that fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked the plant. And in Matthew chapter 13, it says, as Jesus describes what these thorns are, back to Luke chapter 8 in verse 14, "As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked." And what are these thorns? The cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. In Matthew 13, it says that these are the cares of this world, life's worries, the deceitfulness of riches. The Gospel of Mark, it says the desire of other things. All of these things are like thorns that grow up with the plant. They crowd around and they choke the plant. Again, Jesus, as he was telling this parable, he knew what was in the heart of every single one of those people. And Jesus knows your heart. I don't know your heart. But he knows what is in your heart, what you worry about, what your desires are, what your cares are. And he says these words to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Take care, be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. This is not what life is made of. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 8, if we have food and clothing, we shall be content. That's amazing. Am I content with my basic necessities? I'm like you. I have desires. Even though I lived in a mud hut in South Sudan, I still have desires. I look at things, wanting them to be in my life, but knowing those things fill up my life. What are those things that become cares and worries and even desires for riches? I tell people that it's harder to live in this context of prosperity than it is to live in many countries of the world, developing countries where they live very simply. Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, who lived 13 years in prison, in solitary confinement for, I think, 3 years. When he saw the church stand, many of these believers stand against their persecution, he was so encouraged. But then when communist Romania opened up to the West and prosperity came into his beloved country, he was so saddened to see those same people, many of those people, falling as those riches came flooding into their lives. It's harder to live here. So this word is for us, the hearers, who have stuff surrounding us in our lives. These are the thorns. These are the things that we worry about. These are the things that are not necessarily bad. They bring us conveniences that can be good, comfort that can be good, health, security, safety. All these things can be permissible. But let me ask you, is it profitable for your soul? Are you prospering in your soul with those things? The next time you're on Amazon and you have just one click to make to have it sent to you by Amazon Prime the next day, ask yourself, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Because those things that crowd around in your life can grow up and choke the life out of you. What do you do with these thorns? Maybe some purging? But it's a matter really of the heart. Not so much of those things, but it's the desires of the heart. It's the cares, the worries that weigh us down. I'm not sure if you have a weed whacker, but how does the weed whacker do with your weeds and thorns? It does what it says. It whacks. It doesn't get to the root. You know how to deal with thorns. You put on your gloves and you take a trowel and you dig out those roots. And what is that spiritually? It is to repent of those sinful desires of covetousness, a desire for wealth, the desire that somehow you would escape those concerns, those worries apart from the Lord. You repent, you cut off those sinful desires at the root. Because if you don't uproot that sin at the root, then there will be no fruit in your life, or very little fruit in your life, because of those thorns in your life. But repentance gives way to growth. It clears the way for you to bear fruit even a harvest in your life. I hope you're not one of these hearers, just surrounded by thorns, choking that life out of you, but that you're like the last hearer, the hearer who holds. Who holds. This is the seed that is sown in the good soil. Look at verse 8. Some of the seed fell on good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out. He was ears to hear. Let him hear. Hear these words. The one who hears and holds. This is the one that says has a noble and good heart in verse 15. As for the good soil, there are those who hear the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. I'm not a gardener. Maybe I shouldn't be preaching on this topic. But I had to look up, what are the basic nutrients of good soil? Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, giving you four elements. There are many more elements, nutrients needed in good soil, but there are four things that we need to add to our hearing that we might bear fruit. As we compare the other Gospels, there's hearing, and there are four things to add to hearing. The first is, and let me quote here from Romans 10, that faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. So this is what faith looks like as we hear. It's, first of all, hearing and understanding the word. Second, accepting the word. So understanding the word by the Spirit, having insight into the word. Second, accepting the word, that's receiving it, believing it. Just as the church in Thessalonica, when Paul remembered how when they heard the word, he recalls in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that when they received the word of God, which they heard, they accepted it not as the word of men, but as the word of God, as it actually is, the word of God, those who believed it. So it's understanding the word, it's accepting the word, and thirdly, it's holding the word, retaining the word, holding fast to it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes to the church, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to that word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And faith in believing will be in vain unless we hear with understanding, receiving it, holding fast to it. And the fourth element is persevering in it, patiently persevering and enduring with faith. And only then will we see a harvest. As we hold, hear, and hold. And this is the principle of the harvest. That to the measure that you hear and hold is the measure that you will bear fruit. To the measure that you hear the word of Christ and hold on to it with endurance, with perseverance, is the measure that you will bear fruit. So Jesus says, be careful how you hear. I'm so grateful that there is time for prayer here in the sanctuary or at home as you prepare yourself to come to hear the word. So be careful how you hear, as Jesus says. Take care how you hear. In verse 18, Jesus says, "For to the one who has, more will be given. And for the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Be careful how you hear. In South Sudan, agriculture is a very profitable, prosperous business. Some business men have taken it on as a profitable business, but only if they find a good sower and good soil. So they'll hire a farmer to go and clear a plot of land and then sow the seed, weed, and then bring in the harvest. And the businessman will ask for an account of what he has given to the farmer. If the farmer comes back and says, "I'm sorry, I lost everything," do you think the businessman is going to hire him again and give him anything more? If he says, I brought back 10 sacks of groundnuts," he's going to hire him again, give him more seed, and he will bear more fruit. Jesus speaks of a bumper harvest, a spiritual harvest in our lives of 30, 60, 100-fold. Any farmers here? I don't think you've ever seen like it. 100-fold. This is the spiritual fruitfulness that he promises those who hear and hold to his word. You and I have been given much, and we will be called to account for what we have been given. And all of you who have grown up in the church, if you calculate how many sermons you have heard, I calculate probably over 1,000. And I ask myself, why am I not bearing more fruit in my life? And here's the answer. This is the answer for your life. Why you're not bearing more fruit. It's because of the way that you are hearing. Are you hearing the word? Not just now, but in the coming Lord's days. Remember this message. And remember, young people, what you have been given will be required of you. And that should strike fear in you. Do you know that you have more knowledge of the scriptures than most pastors in the developing world? And you will be called to account for what you have done with what you know, what you have heard. Are you holding on to it with faith and bearing fruit in it? If I were to be able to have this camera and take a picture of your heart, and it would show the soil in your heart, what would it expose? Small little roots that are not going to be able to withstand the trials that are to come. Thorns all above that may be not clear to all of us, but the Lord knows, that are there choking your life. Or if that camera could see the beautiful, good soil in your heart that's bearing much fruit in your life, what would it expose? The good soil, you may wonder, what is that? What is this honest and good heart? There's only one who is good. None of us are good. There's only the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life of hearing the word of God and holding on to it and bearing much fruit. And he says that he's like a seed. His life was like a kernel of wheat that fell into the ground and died. Died on the cross. And he was buried. And he was raised the newness of life to bear a bountiful harvest of saved souls that he would rejoice in. And anyone who is united with Jesus Christ by faith, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have died with him, you have been raised with him to newness of life, to a bountiful harvest that is promised to you as you continue to believe in him. Jesus is alive today. And from his throne, he pours out his Holy Spirit, accompanied with his word of truth, the word of life, and is being sown in people's hearts around the world. Even here this morning, in this place, is it bearing fruit? Is it going to bear fruit in your life as you stand trusting the Lord, as you repent, uprooting those sinful desires in your life, and as you hear and hold not only this word, but the word of the living Lord Jesus Christ in your life, as you take this word home with you, and as you hear the word in the coming Lord's days? Jesus, the one who is the Lord of the harvest, is saying, hear my word and hold on to it and bear much fruit to my glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, risen, exalted, you are the word of life, the word that has been sown into our hearts this morning, the word that has been sown in so many weeks and months and years past. And we ask, Father, that you would give us open ears, open eyes to see you, the King of glory, continuing to pour out your Holy Spirit with this word of truth, the gospel of salvation, that those who hear, believe, will be saved. And for us who believe and are saved, will continue holding fast, persevering until the end, and bearing much fruit to your glory. And we pray this believing with confidence as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.